Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Amen. Okay. Well, tonight, the basics of small group leadership, we're doing session four. And were we able to get those emailed out to folks? Yeah. So you guys should have those notes in your email box if we have your email address. And if we don't, then make sure to cherish your email address before you leave here tonight. But you should have a copy of the notes in your email box. And part of the reason that we're doing the emails, and we want you to have the notes, is because this series is very different from all the other series we do, because it's really a training, as opposed to a sermon series where you're supposed to walk away feeling, you know, good and ready to go for it. This series is a training that we're spending 8 weeks because we really believe in small group ministry. And we want to make sure that we're all on the same page. We want to make sure that we know what small groups look like and how, and the biblical foundation, which is what we've been doing the last few weeks. And a lot of what we're going to be doing in the coming weeks, starting really tonight, is the ins and outs of what small group leadership looks like in the actual, like, leading a small group. And so, tonight is session four, starting a small group. And again, if you don't have a copy of the notes, you probably could get somebody around here to email it to you, since they probably have it in their inbox. And again, the hope there is that you'd keep these notes and use them whenever you start a small group. I know many of you will wind up starting small groups who haven't already. And for those who have, it's been a long time since we've done this kind of a training as a church on what it looks like to do small group ministry. So it's a good refresher for everybody. So with that, in part number one here, Roman numeral one, our vision for small groups. You guys already know this, but it's just we want to communicate it again and again. Our vision is for everyone who comes around to wind up in a small group, because it's the way that we pastor our church. We've talked enough about that, so I'm going to keep moving on. We believe in small groups. It's obvious that we do. We talk about it every single week. I bet you can't think of a single week that you've come to this church that you didn't hear us mention small groups at some point, because it is core for us. It's foundational. And part of the reason for that is we look at Acts 2, 46 through 47, we see the way that the early church operated. And they had corporate times of teaching. They were together in prayer all the time. And it says that they were in each other's homes. Look at this, Acts 2, 46 through 47. Every day they continued to meet together. Well, I love that. The version of church where we meet together every day, where we're together every day in some sort of expression. And thank you, Lord, for the prayer room, which affords us that opportunity where we get to be, at least if you wanted to be, you could be together every day. Anyway, they were together every day in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord, in this context of church, of being together every day, of being in corporate teachings, of being in each other's homes, of sharing meals together, being together all the time, the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. And so I like that verse. But more than that, from a ecclesiastical standpoint, if that's not a word that you know, it's the expression of church, the ecclesiology of the church, the way that the church is expressed. From an ecclesiastical standpoint, this is actually how the church started. This is how, when Jesus said, start a church, start the church, on this rock, I'm going to build it. This is what came out. And when it was squeezed and Jesus, you know, resurrected and went up, this is what came out, is a version of the church that was meeting together all the time. They were in each other's homes. They were sharing life together, and they were together all the time. And one of the things that I just want to point out on that is, these homes, especially for the majority of those that were in Jerusalem in this time, these weren't the richest of people. You're talking fishermen and just folk. Their homes were not mansions. Their homes were small little dwellings. So when it says they met together in homes, they met together in small groups of people. Now, maybe those groups change day to day, but they met together in small groups because you couldn't get a big group into a home. So pretty simple idea. We believe in this. And so we've got an expression of this in our modern day. Finding the right group. It is understandable that as people come in, again, what we're doing in this training is I'm trying to get you thinking about how to interact with visitors that come in. I'm trying to get you thinking about what the process could and should look like to make people feel the most comfortable and give people the best opportunity to get plugged in and find family here in our context. It is understandable that many people might need to try a number of different small groups as they come around before they find the right one. Some are going to find the right one the first time. That's the Lord that does that. It's awesome. I love it when it happens. It happens a lot. But it won't always happen. There are going to be times where someone's going to come to your small group and they're going to go, listen, you guys are great. I don't know. This just doesn't feel like the right fit. That's okay. Don't take offense at that, small group leader. They're going to go down the street and try the other small group, and it's going to be the perfect one. Just like somebody that went to that small group is going to wind up saying, I'll pass, and come to yours. It's okay. It's just part of life. That's just part of the way that it is. Let people find the right family that they're going to root into, because that's what we're doing here. We're not starting Bible studies. We're starting family clusters. And so it's important that people find a group of people that they feel comfortable with, that they can run with. Next, we want for our visitors that come around to know that they are welcome. We're never going to chase them off. We're never going to say, you can't come to our church if you don't join a small group. But we're never going to stop asking people to join small groups because it's so important to us, because that's the way we pastor the church. We so desperately want to have those relationships and those connections. And as we've been talking about for the last however many weeks, it's biblical that we would have those sorts of connections and that sort of accountability and that sort of relationships and those sorts of friendships and depth that only comes from a group of people that know you well. And this is just our DNA. And I know we're weird. This is such a weird expression. It's not weird when you look at Acts 2:42 through 46 or 47. But when you look at a lot of the ways that things are structured right now, this is such an odd thing. So I want to tell you, it's going to be normal that visitors are going to come into our midst and go, small groups, I don't think I like that. I like you people, you're nice enough. I can stand Brad's preaching half the time. The worship's pretty good. Chris Rice has got the jam. But I don't like this small group thing. This is weird to me. Okay, it's weird to you. That's okay. We can bear with that. Don't like make it like, no, you gotta like small groups to be here. But people don't even know what a small group is. It's such a weird idea in our current church structure. So give people time to warm up, you know, and learn about it and become comfortable. That's totally okay and totally normal. Okay, forming your small group. So what I want to do is in the next couple of sections of the notes here, I want to talk to you about those that are about ready to start a small group, those that have started and maybe need a little bit of salt and pepper on the recipe to get things moving forward a little bit. I want to talk to you about how you start your small group, how you form your small group. First, now I want to pretend like I'm talking to a room full of people that are thinking about starting a small group but haven't started one yet, because most of what I'm going to say will apply to anybody anyway. But I just want to aim at that group, okay? Those that are thinking about starting a small group but haven't started one yet and are kind of, you know, pondering, maybe I will, maybe I could, maybe I should. And a relaunch could look the same way. First, plan an actual launch date. Okay? Plan a date. It's not start a small group, it just kind of happens haphazardly. Put some energy into it. Plan a launch date. Pick a date 4 weeks out, 6 weeks out, whatever. Put it on the calendar. Pick the night or the day or the afternoon or whatever. Pick the time and go, this is when we're launching the small group and make it a big deal. Because it is a big deal. This isn't just some little, you know, finger or tentacle of Foreigner Fellowship. This is your small group of people that you're going to invest in. This is a big deal. So plan a fun event about it. Plan a barbecue or a pool party or a home-cooked meal that you're going to do at your house. And set the date on the calendar. This is the launch night. You're like, well, nobody's going to come to this. We'll get to that. We'll touch on that in a minute. I promise. I won't leave you hanging. Plan the night. Plan the afternoon. It's launch day. You're thinking about it. You're talking about it. It's part of what you're planning for and getting ready for. It's a moment in time. It's an event, not a, well, we accidentally started a small group because people started coming around a little bit. Make intentional efforts to have a moment where you're going to launch your small group. Next point. It's important that time, let's call it a night. Let's say it's a midweek night and you're doing a little barbecue in your backyard. You're doing a cookout. And, you know, people are coming. It's important that night that you actually, to that group of people, that you don't just get together and eat good chicken. Though eating good chicken is a value around here. We like good chicken. It's important that you don't just get together and eat. You've got to get together and then say what you're there for. announce the fact that, hey, you guys, thank you for coming tonight. Glad you're eating the chicken. We're starting a small group. This is actually our first meeting. Love to invite you back next week. And then cast a vision for them about what your small group is. You go, well, aren't all small groups the same? Not all small groups are created equal. They are different. They are an expression of your personality. They're an expression of the vision and the values that the Lord has given you. They're an expression of what you feel like the Lord's going to do specifically through your small group. I'll give you a few different ideas. Your vision statement can be very simple, but you want to be able to cast a vision. You want to be able to talk to those that come to your small group launch about why you're doing small group. What is your small group? Proverbs makes it really clear. Proverbs 29:18, a verse you guys probably know from a lot of other contexts. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Let me tell you what's going on here. This is Solomon writing the book of Proverbs, and he's saying, listen, I have found over the years, as Mr. Smart King of Israel, I have found this to be true. If you don't envision people for why they're doing what they're doing, they'll stop doing it. Because they don't know why they're doing it. And it was fun the first week or three, but fun won't work as a long-term strategy. They need to know why. What is this? What are we doing? And then it says, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. If you're starting anything and it's the Lord, it's something that the Lord's in, then there's wisdom in doing it. And you actually want to have people be able to experience the blessing of that wisdom. And they won't experience it unless they're doing it. And they won't keep doing it unless they have vision for why they're doing it. And they won't have that vision unless you give it to them. So let me give you a couple of really simple vision statements. And I don't mean like vision statement on a website. I just mean like the point. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? What is this about? I'm going to give you a couple of really simple things. And I'm not saying this is your vision statement. I'm saying here are a few that are pretty simple. Have your own. Come up with your own. Yours could be as simple as our small group aims to be a really close-knit family. What an awesome thing to be all about. For people to know that they're coming to a group that aims at being a close-knit family. That's awesome. That's your vision. Communicate that to them. That way they know what it is that they're getting. They know what it is that you're aiming for. And they're there at the very front end. They're there for your barbecue or your pizza party or whatever, your home-cooked meal. Go the home-cooked meal route and let me just come anyway, even though I'm probably not going to join the group. Just let me come and eat your meal. But do whatever to invite people in and then cast that vision. Again, one version is we aim to be a close-knit family. That's what we want to do. We want our small group as it grows to be a close-knit family. That could be something that you cast a vision for. And you don't have to like say this is our vision statement. Just like helping people understand what is it that they would be coming to and why. Next, we want our small group to grow and multiply and plant other small groups and be all about the multiplication and like figure out how to get small groups all over Arlington. Cool. Well, that's not exactly the same as we want to be a close-knit family. You could still have a close-knit family component, but your main objective is like, let's take the kingdom. You know, let's see this thing expand. Let's grow from 3 people to 10 and from 10 to 15 to 20, and then let's multiply, and then let's grow again and multiply again and multiply again. Let's grow. Let's let our vision for our small group be we're going to help fuel the kingdom of God in our city, and we're going to do it through small group discipleship. And you're thinking and feeling that way. Cool. There are a lot of people that would get on board with that and go, I want to do that. Like, I want to do that. Part of what's happening is when you're communicating the vision of your small group, you're kind of hoisting a flag of the folks that you will attract. You're kind of hoisting a flag about those that will say, I really connect more with that, or I really connect more with that. And you don't need to make up something that's not you. You need to state, what is you? What is you? I need to say that more. What is you? It just sounds so articulate, doesn't it? Pastor Brad says, what is you? All right, next one. Another vision could be, you know what? Our small group is going to be all about leadership development. My vision is, all those that are in my small group, my vision is that all of you would start small groups, and I want to help all of you become small group leaders, and then I want to lead you while you lead all those different small groups. Well, that's a cool thing. Somebody might go, man, I've always wanted to be really invested into as a leader. I've always wanted somebody to look at me as a leader, to pour into me, and help me to get to that next place in God. I really feel like that's a good fit for me. Do you see how all three of those things are completely different? I mean, those are not the same vision statement. And you could probably come up with 50 more. And they're all still in the same realm of what works in this context and all that kind of stuff. And it's all part of the way that the Lord's going to use you as an individual to minister in a way that's uniquely you. Well, whether we like it or not, there's a lot about this church that smells a lot like Brad Stroop. Because I'm leading it. And so the Lord is using the bend that I have, the way that I kind of think about things and approach life. And so the Lord is using that in order to be able to multiply stuff. It's part of the follow me as I follow Christ sort of a thought process. Well, that's how it works. That's how it was with Paul. In Paul's letters, I don't know if you noticed this, there are times in Paul's letters where he would say, I, not the Lord. He'd say, I want to encourage you to do this. I, not the Lord. He's saying, God isn't telling you that you have to do this. I'm saying as a leader that knows what he's talking about, that this is sort of my flavor, my flow, my DNA, and it works really good, and I want to encourage you to do it my way. There's room for that. So as you guys become small group leaders, you're going to start small groups that look and smell and feel a little bit like you. Cool. That's awesome. There's tons of room for that around here. Okay, so inviting people to your group, because it's all fine and dandy to talk about this small group, but they're all fictitious until they're actual human beings that come to your living room, right? How do you get them to your living room? You promise them money. Nope, you probably don't do that, because you probably don't have any money, because you probably gave it all to the building campaign. Thank you very much, so that's great. All right, inviting people to your small group. I just want to give you a couple of things. Here's the way that it works under the sun. All hard work brings a profit. I could have put the verse up there. It's in Proverbs somewhere. All hard work brings a profit. Why do I say that? If you will put hard work into inviting people to your small group, you'll get people to your small group. If you will invest energy to get people to come to your small group, if you'll pour real time and energy into it, you'll get people in your small group. If you don't, then it might happen or it might not happen. But if you'll pour energy into this, you'll get people to come. Now, remember I was telling you earlier, plan a launch date. Part of the reason for the launch date is so that you can spend 6 weeks getting ready and inviting people to that launch date. So you plan it 6 weeks out. We're going to do this barbecue. It's going to be at our house. We're going to do this, da-da-da-da. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. So now you've got a place and a time and idea, and now you can begin to invite people to that moment. We're going to start this small group in 6 weeks on a Tuesday, okay? So here's what you do. You need to come up with an invite strategy, and I want to just give you an encouragement here. There are plenty of people who really would love it if you were pastoring them. There are plenty of people that would really love it if you were pouring into them and really ministering to them. Now, over the years, I have found that about half of the people that I know that I love Jesus don't really care one bit about what I think. I'm talking about like friends and close family members and that kind of thing. There are about half the people that are like, Brad, we don't care at all what you think. Your ideas do not matter to us. Then of the remaining half, so now a fourth, I'll do a fourth and a fourth. So 2/4 and 1/2, that's still a whole, right? Okay, so one of the fourths is like, hey, Brad, I love what you're doing. It's great. And I appreciate being able to glean a little here and there, but I don't really see myself like jumping in with the direction that you're going. Cool. That's great. And there's another fourth that's waiting for an invitation to join your small group. They're waiting for an invitation for you to pour into them because they see the gift of God in your life. They see that you love Jesus genuinely. They see that your life looks different than theirs. They see that the way that you talk about Jesus, the way that you interact with Jesus, the way that you pray, they see something in you that they go, I don't have that, and I actually want that. Now, you don't exactly know who that fourth is until you stick your neck out there and try. But it's a little bit of a vulnerable spot because you're going to get half that are going to go, and then you're going to get a fourth that are going to go, hey, cool, but I'm not coming to your small group. So you'll get a fourth or some number that will say, yeah, actually, that's just what I need. That's just what I'm looking for. You know, things right now in my life, I need that. You're doing a small group in your living room on whatever night, I'm coming. But you got to invite them. And they won't come unless you invite them. Invite your friends. Invite weekly visitors that come around here, or those that are coming around our church. And again, as we move over to this new space and we start making these new outreach strategies, it's going to be exciting. We're going to have more people coming in the door. There are going to be a lot of new faces. You know, it's kind of difficult for people to even know Forerunner Fellowship exists right now. Like, where are we? Well, we meet in this church we're going to move into a new building. It's like, good luck, okay? If you're a visitor and you found us, praise the Lamb. It's a miracle. Because it's like, we don't even have a place. We're about to have a place on Sunday mornings that makes sense, that's on Cooper Street. And we're going to start making efforts to reach out. We'll start having visitors come in the door. And as we do, invite those visitors to your small group. But don't stop at the visitors that come around and at your friends. Invite your sphere of influence via social media. Go ahead and go out there and do it. Launch it out on whatever social media platforms you got. Hey guys, I'm really excited. I'm a part of Forerunner Fellowship. I'm finally starting a small group. It's going to be awesome. We're going to meet on Tuesday nights. We're actually starting with a barbecue in 6 weeks. Love for you guys to come. If anybody's interested, you know, like send me a message, a direct message, or, you know, something. Like, let people know that you're doing it and tell the date, and then send it out again a couple weeks later. That way people don't forget that you're actually doing it. Tell the world that you're doing this. I'm telling you, there are people out there that can receive from you. There are people out there that would be in your small group, that would want to be a part of what you're doing. They just don't know that you're doing it, or don't know that they can come, or haven't heard the invitation, or it's just never really dawned on them that they could fit into your world in that way. There is a percentage of people out there that would actually come and get involved. Next, invite specific contacts through email. Pray and say, Lord, who are some people that I'm actually supposed to approach? And I just want to say this. Those that you feel a peace about approaching to join your small group, it doesn't mean that they're going to. Maybe the Lord just wanted to encourage them. Maybe the Lord just wanted you to reach out to them because they needed it that day. 1,000 reasons. But some of them, you're going to feel the Lord like, yeah, reach out to that person. You're going to send them an email or send them a phone call or whatever, and they're actually going to go, you know what? I'm glad you called. Yes, I'm in. Let's do this. I'll run with you. Next, ask everyone that you know. Again, this may be social media. This is just people you're running into. This is family members. This is friends. Let people that you know what you're doing and ask them if they know anybody who this might be a good fit for. Listen, you know, we're a mostly young adult church. We just want to disciple people. I'm starting a small group. Do you know anybody that you think, like, I might be a good fit in their life to help mentor them and love on them and help them get to that next place in God? You might have a family member that goes, actually, this lady I work with, her son, he needs to be in your small group. That's perfect. I'll call him right now. You might know somebody that, you know, that you've got a relationship with from a long time ago, an old friend or whoever, and they're like, listen, actually, my brother just moved to the Metroplex. He doesn't know anybody. He'd be perfect. My sister would be great at this. Man, yeah, we just changed churches, and we don't really know what we're doing right now. That sounds like a really good fit. But do you see all the different ways that I just said invite, 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 invite? If you'll do all 7 or 8 of those, people will join your small group. It's pretty simple. If you don't, they might not. I mean, maybe people will, but probably not. But if you let people know what you're doing and you open up your living room, you invite people in, you'll get people. People are lonely. You know, I don't know how many people I've talked to that are in the current structure of how things look in Christianity in America who are lonely. They don't have any relationships. They don't have anybody in their life that knows them. And they just feel like alone. I mean, they love the Lord. They're just a lonely person. You're offering them like a little family cluster. That's what the point of this is. That we would form family groups, small groups, that are people running together and helping each other. It's a very attractive thing. So while the idea of small groups sounds a little odd, it's actually what everybody really wants. What people really want is to be known, to have relationships, to be valuable, to be able to use their gifts, their talents, their relationships, their experiences, to know that they've got brothers and sisters running arm in arm with them, to have people there looking over their shoulder and helping them through life and somebody to go to. People want that. Why? Because we were created with that gap. We were created with that hole. So people are lonely. You will find lonely people everywhere. Wherever there are people, there are lonely people. especially in this hour where it's so easy to have, you know, 10,000 followers on Instagram or whatever and not have any people that really know you. Small group life is all about being known and knowing others. It's the joy of the kingdom of God, is relationships. What you're offering is something that people would want to be a part of if only they got an invitation. They may not want to go to a this or a that. They might not even want to go to a corporate service like this. That might be weird to them, or, you know, something. I don't know, intimidating. But to come to your living room and hang out with, you know, 3, 5, 8, 10 people or whatever that are kind of at the same spot in life and hungry for God. And people want that. I don't mean every person. I mean some people. And you don't know which person. Is it that person or that person? You don't know until you ask. I want to use the Romans 10:14 verse that we know so well that we typically relate to evangelism. And evangelism is part of it. But remember, Jesus' great commission was not go evangelize, go and make people that have been evangelized to, proselytes, that have said yes. He said, go and make disciples. So I just want to say this from a standpoint of discipleship. We're all about relational discipleship. Think about inviting people to your small group and how it relates to this verse, Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one that they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? I just want to propose this to you. How cool would it be if the new normal around here was people were getting saved in our living rooms? They were giving their lives to Jesus on our couch. They were coming to our living room because we met them at Starbucks. Because we met them on our walk. We met them at the park with our kids. We just met them out and about. We said, listen, I actually like lead a small group for this church in the area. I had a really good connect with you. What would you think about coming and visiting sometime? Yeah, okay. You seem pretty cool. Sure, you don't seem like the normal churchy folk. Sure, I'll come. And they come to your living room and they pour their guts out and they give their lives to Jesus on your couch. That's awesome. To me, I'll just say it, I would so prefer that than them coming and getting saved like in our corporate context, where no one knows that it happened, or maybe they do, where they're responding to a corporate message as opposed to an individual reaching into their heart. See, I love it when people come to know Jesus in your living room. That's sweet. Well, how will that ever happen if you don't ever invite them to your living room? I mean, how will they get there? They're not going to just show up at your living room. You're going to have to ask them. So who is the them? It's that person that you know at the grocery store because you go to the same checkout line every time and you always shop at the same place. And you know that person. They know your name. You know theirs. It's the person, it's the barista that you're used to buying the drink from. It's the person at your favorite restaurant. It's the person on your walk that you see every time you walk around the block at that certain spot. It's your neighbor. It's your friend. It's your brother. It's people that you know. It's people that you interact with. It's people out there. Ask them to come to your small group. And let that be a continual ask, that it's not just one time to that one person. It's frequently to everybody until. Tell people about what you're doing. You're inviting, this is what you're doing. You're making disciples. You're taking a bit of a bold step because that's not a normal conversation that they're used to having at the Kroger checkout line. You want me to come to your living room? But there are some people at Kroger that need to come to your living room. And they'll become your new best friend and you'll love it. We love Anna Hernandez. We love her. Someone found her at Boston Market while buying chicken. Hi, I'd like some chicken. Okay, I'm having a bad day. Can I pray for you? Sure. Want to come to church? Great. Anna Hernandez, boom. How did she wind up here? Because someone told her. It's really simple. She was a hurting person. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's lonely. Everybody's bored. Everybody's mad. Reach out to bored, angry, mad, lonely people. Reach out to them and invite them to your living room. Invite them to your small group. All right. You know, Jesus, everywhere he went, picked up disciples. Everywhere he went. Look at the Matthew 4 and the Matthew 14, if we can get those verses up there. Crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. That covers a lot of territory, by the way, if you look at a map. That's a lot. Everywhere he went, everywhere he go, people start following him. This is the model that Jesus left. Now, granted, his sphere of influence and the anointing on his life was probably a little stronger than yours and mine. But what a great picture. Jesus was picking people up at the Starbucks. And they started becoming his disciples. They started following him around. I mean, that's so cool. The crowds followed him on foot from the towns. All these different towns. They come and they follow him around. I just want to say, it's really not as weird as we make it sound. It's not what we've been doing, maybe. It's not what we've seen done, maybe. But it's actually really normal. This is actually the way that the gospel goes forth. Because until you're moving in signs and wonders, you're probably not going to draw a crowd anywhere you go. But you can absolutely have a heart connect with one human being at a time. And in my opinion, you're far better off to form a relationship with them and bring them to Jesus, draw them to Jesus, as opposed to preach at them at Starbucks and leave. I just don't know how effective that is. I think you're so much better off to get in their life and call them to Jesus. Call them, see me, see, watch how I live. Come to Jesus with me. Listen, I'll pour into you. I'll help you. I'll give you some Bible verses. I'll pray for you. I'll be there for you. I think in this generation, we live in a time where people are so done being preached at, but they still want relationships. And if we will take time out of our life to invest in those people and invite them into our life, we'll make disciples. They're out there. I just want to encourage you. You're planning this 6 weeks out small group launch thing. Make a little small group like launch card or something. You can get them printed up for like nothing. Plan out something. You know, small group at someone at my house. My house. Just call it my house. And I'll back put the details on there. Tuesday night, 7 p.m., my house. Here it is. Your number on there, your email address, whatever. And like let people know what you're doing and then hand them something. And go, listen, why don't you come check out my small group? I just think you're cool. I just love to be able to get to know you better. The worst they can do is go, you're dumb. I'm not coming to your living room. You're dumb. All right, I'm dumb. All right, next one. You're great. You're the greatest ever. I can't believe you invited me to your living room. All right, well, I feel pretty good after the two of you dumbs. Okay, I can handle this. Have a card just to be able to hand them so that way you're not even having to ask them for their number right then. Maybe they don't want to give you that. You're able to just hand them something that's a point of contact, and then you pray, oh, God, get them. God, get them is a great prayer. I pray, get them. The longer you can draw out the more anointed it is. So get them, okay? Lord, get them. And you pray that. You go, Lord, get them. Let that card do something. Mess with them. Let them call me. Let them have that moment where they just need somebody in their life, where they just need somebody that cares, and let them call me. And then I'll be there. Pick up the phone. All right. I just got to tell you, the several times that I've started small groups over the years in different contexts, one of the first things that I had to do as a small group leader that was starting a small group that didn't have 100 people in my small group, which then it would no longer be small, so that would not be what you're after, but it didn't have many people, what I had to do every single time was I had to pray like crazy, God, draw people. Draw more people to this small group. The Lord answers prayers. There are people out there that need this. John 6:44. John 6:44. You guys know the passage. This is Jesus. And he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And then I'll raise them up at the last day. This is Jesus talking about the importance of the drawing factor, the Holy Spirit drawing an individual. Now, Jesus knew that he was going to graduate and go up and not be on the planet in physical form anymore, okay? He knew he was going to hand over the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was going to hand it over to humans, fouled, flawable, issueful, sinful humans, us. He knew that was the plan. But the plan all along was for the Holy Spirit to draw the hearts of people into the kingdom and connect them to people in the kingdom. That was the plan all along. I pray this prayer. And especially as I've started small groups over the different years, I said, Lord, draw them here. You know the ones that this is the right small group for. You know this is the perfect fit. You know those out there that right now, in your estimation, God, their life would be so much better if they joined this small group. Draw them. Draw them. As a small group leader, especially those that are just getting started or you only got a few people in your group and you feel like you've got more capacity, pray this prayer every day. Draw people here, Lord. I'm going to do my part. I'll send out the emails. I'll do the Instagram thing or whatever. I'll tell people about what I'm doing. I'll hand out the cards at the Starbucks and wherever. I'll let people know. But I want you to draw them, Lord. Draw the ones that you want here. The ones that you know I'm going to be able to minister to. The ones that you know are going to be ministered to and are going to be better off. And as a result, they're going to have such a great inheritance in the kingdom because you let me pour into them. You know which ones. Draw them. It's important that you pray that prayer for a number of reasons. Because you need God to get involved in the process, but also you need to recognize God's role in the process and your role in the process. You need to lean into the Lord to remember that He's in charge, that He's the one that's doing the ministry and you're a conduit. Well, what about when people start coming? All this we've been talking about, it's all pregame warm-up. We haven't even started the small group yet. What do you do when, oh my gosh, people came to the small group? I did the barbecue and 12 people showed up delivered. What are we going to do? I've got 12 people. Well, don't worry. If 12 came, 12 won't stay. So, just a little word of the wise. But 12 people came to the barbecue. Oh my gosh. What do I do now? Well, now you small group lead them. That's what we're doing anyway. Training on. You might find yourself actually reviewing these teaching lessons. Going back, I know, unbelievable. Listening to an old MP3 on the website, even. And going, I need them small group leading teachings. I'm a small group leader now. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I hope that Brad knows what he's talking about because now I got people coming to my living room. That's right, Micah. I see that face. Okay, so here's the first thing. Be careful, be attentive, be intentional to follow up with those that come to your living room. If they came to your barbecue, they came to your home-cooked night, they came to your pool party, whatever, make sure you get their information. If they came that night, they're not like, I mean, this is your absolute best bet ever of who to actually get involved in your small group. So get their contact information. They'll give it to you. They came to your living room, for crying out loud. They'll give you their contact information. Follow up with them, and I want to encourage you, follow up with them tomorrow. Worst case, the next day. Don't wait too many days. Because you know what they're looking for? They came to your living room to sniff out, what is this group context? What are you like as a leader in your interactions with these other people? What's your living room like? Do I even feel comfortable here? That's what they were doing then. But after they leave your living room, the interview isn't over. Now they want to know, what are they going to do with me? How are they going to interact with me? Are they going to actually do what they said? They said they were going to try to pour into me and try to be like a leader in my life, try to mentor me. Are they actually going to reach out into my life and try? And they're looking for that phone call. And I would encourage you, phone call. Text them later, phone call. Even if you want to text them after you leave a message for phone call. Make the point to actually try to get them on the phone. Hey, I am so glad you came yesterday. Awesome, what'd you think? Have an interaction with them. Actually communicate with them. That follow-up is important. Next, and this doesn't need to happen like the next day, but it does need to happen pretty soon after. You want to get that small group, because of those 12 that came to the barbecue, 5 are going to hang around. And of those 5 that hang around, or 6, whatever the number is, of that number that hangs around, you want to get them interacting with each other. Not just you interacting with them, but them interacting with each other. Because they need to feel comfortable together, because the objective here is to be able to grow together, be transparent, to be able to love Jesus, be able to share what's going on in your life, be able to get prayed for, be able to be invest into them, have people, you know, share life together. And you can't get that unless there's a measure of vulnerability, and that measure of vulnerability only comes through trust. And trust comes by communication. So here's my point. In a very short period of time, start some version of like a group text thread, or a group me, or a group email, or a something. Where they've all got each other's contact information, and people can like share their prayer requests. Hey, I'm having a really rough day. Would you guys pray for me? I'll tell you what. If you can get that activated early, you will have a thriving small group very quickly. Because now they're interacting for each other. Yeah, praying for you, bro. Man, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Hey, actually, I'm in the neighborhood. I'm right down the street. Can I bring you a burger? And they're interacting with each other. You want them connecting to each other, not just you, though you want to connect to them. So I would encourage you, start some sort of group communication, whatever works. If that's email, if that's a text thread, group me, whatever. Start some way that you're able to communicate. Because the other thing is, hey, guys, small group tonight, we're actually going to start 20 minutes late because of the something or other. So don't you try to break into my house until 7:20 tonight. But you're able to get that communication out because you got everybody on a text thread. Or, hey, guys, I got the craziest thing. I've got this missionary friend who's going to be in town tonight. He said he'd come to our small group and, like, pray for us. What a cool thing to be able to share. And now your small group knows it's going to look a little different that night. You know, or in the rare case, you got to cancel or something happens. Start a text thread or whatever version of that you want to do where your small group is able to communicate together. That's an important component, and you want to do it early because you want your small group connecting to each other, not just to you. All right. Pray for them. Now the Lord's brought you people. Pray for them as individuals. Yeah, when you see them, but when you don't. Pray for their maturity. Pray for their needs to be met. Pray for just the small group overall to grow and mature. Set aside some time every week to pray for your small group. You know what's a great thing to be able to say? Hey, I've been praying for you. And you not be lying. It's good to not lie. We believe in not lying around here. If anybody wanted to know, it's a value of ours. Not lying. Spend time every week praying for them. You don't have to spend 5 hours, but carve out a time where you're praying for them by name. Oh, God, help them with their job situation. Help them with this. Help them. Oh, Lord, this one. Oh, my gosh. Help this one. You know, pray for them. And then you can tell them, I've been praying for you. Any updates? Is there anything I can do to add to that? Like, I want to be able to invest in you. Part of what you're doing is you're knitting your heart to them. Part of what's happening is they see you care. There are not too many people in any of our lives who have been praying for us weekly for a long period of time, even for 5 weeks in a row. I'm not saying nobody has any of that. I'm just saying it's rare. And for you to become that in their life, that is gold. It's a way actually that you're making them your disciple. You're investing in them. What a great way to make them your disciple. Through servant-hearted leadership. You're pouring into them. You're blessing them. You're strengthening them. You're praying for them. People need that. Next, pray for the meeting as a whole, the weekly meeting. I don't know how many times, especially in those early days when I was starting small groups, I don't know how many times I would be on my face or whatever, on my bed, praying, going, oh God, please don't let this meeting be bad. Oh Lord, please show up this time. Oh Lord, please don't let us all stare at each other blankly for a whole hour. Oh Lord, show up. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, give me a word. Give me a verse I can share. Give me something I can pour into these folks. God, I pray for your presence to show up. God, what could we do tonight that would be a little different? Lord, I pray that tonight that you'd move in the hearts of those that come, that they would have something to really minister to one another. And then, Lord, give me the wisdom to know how to ride that wave. Lord, as the leader, help me to know what to do with what happens in the small group tonight. You see what Jesus did? Matthew 14, 23 through 29. Jesus modeled this, I think, pretty well. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. The boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. And Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake, and the disciples saw him. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. You go, how does this small group ministry? This is Jesus' small group. These are his 12 guys, okay? He's getting ready to have a moment with them. And he goes and he prays first. And then he stages this whole scene. Jesus intentionally has them go ahead of him. His plan all along was to walk on water to meet them out on the boat, to freak them out. I mean, that was the plan, okay? And he's up there on the mountain and he's praying, and I just imagine him going, "Father, what's going to happen?" I just imagine, I don't have proof that this is how it went, I just imagine it this way. I imagine the Holy Spirit speaking to Jesus and going, Peter's going to be the one to go for it. Aim it at Peter. Ooh, I like that. Peter's, okay, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. I'm ready for this. And then Jesus walks out there, and he sees them, and they all freak out because he's walking on water in the middle of a storm. And he says, guys, chill out, it's me. And Peter goes, oh, wait a minute. If it's you, tell me to come out there. And Jesus goes, glad you asked. Come on out. And Peter now walks out on the water. This is a small group meeting. Now, it's maybe not, I hope all our small group meetings go like this. Maybe it's not like the one that you're going to have in your living room next week, but this is a small group meeting. This is a small group leader with an intentional plan for a small group meeting. He's prayed, he's interacted with the Father about the small group meeting. He's gotten clarity about what's going to happen. He's now ready to interact when he gets out there. He's bringing something of substance to the meeting. And then he's helping them to know how to interact, and then he teaches them out of the experience in this meeting. This is brilliant. Now, again, he's the Son of God. He's got, you know, a little bit more going on than some of us do. Lord, help us increase our faith and our anointing and everything else, our water walking, increase it in Jesus' name. But in the meantime, you could still follow this model. Pray before your small group meeting. Lord, show up in the small group meeting. Help me to have something to bring to them. Help me to know how to interact with them. Help them to participate in the direction. Lord, do things in their life that they'll actually come and bring something to the table tonight. Pray that. That's a great prayer. And then watch it happen. I want to really focus on this point for a minute, this next point. I want to talk about your small group as your ministry. Now, the safety of what we're doing here is that as a small group leader, you're a person in authority, leading a small group, under authority, under Four Under Fellowship. Your pastor is a person in authority, leading the church, under authority. Amy and I have Pastor Adam and Miss Jamie as our pastors. It's safety. It's a good thing. It's a really great thing. I want for you to think of your small group as your ministry in the kingdom of God. It may not be the full extent of everything you do, but I want you to think about this as something really powerful. You have the opportunity to see lives transformed. I just want to say this. There are people in my small group whose lives are transformed. They're transformed. And I got to have a huge role in that. Amy got to have a huge role in that. Their lives are different. Their trajectory is different. The way that they're going to live their life, the way that they're raising their kids, it's different. You have power to make great impact. That person that's going to be in your small group, you might make the difference between whether they have a good marriage or a bad marriage down the road. Because you invest in them and you help them know what it means to be a man of God, a woman of God. You might actually be the reason that their kids grow up in a godly home as opposed to growing up without parents or growing up ungodly home or whatever. You, because you became a small group leader, you are investing its ministry. It's like your own little church that's a part of the church. It's your ministry. I want you to think, I want you to take it seriously. Those that are in your small group, that's your opportunity to multiply the kingdom of God. Take it seriously, like, this is the thing that God gave us. I just want to give you that verse again out of Acts 20, 28. I know we've looked at it a couple of times, but Acts 20, 28. I want you to think of yourself this way and that 2, 3, 5, 10 people that are in your small group. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Take it seriously. Invest in them. Care about them. This is your ministry. Like, we're all ministers in the kingdom of God. We're all ambassadors for Christ. We're all supposed to be doing something for Jesus. You could do something for Jesus in this small group context and make the world a difference in people's lives. You might have the word of the Lord for somebody that sets them free from suicidal thoughts. You might have the word of the Lord for somebody that actually winds up helping them get a job, and they could never get a job before. They always quit their jobs or always lost their jobs or whatever. You might have the opportunity to be able to invest in somebody that no one would ever marry that guy. Ever. And for good reason. And you be able to invest in that person, and now they become a man of God and a marrying man. You might be able to invest in people. You don't know. That's what small group is. That's what it is. It's the most beautiful thing. I've been watching this process. It works. It's awesome. It's awesome. You don't need to be educated. You just need to be love-educated. Just love. Love people well. Invest in people. Love and invest. Love and invest. Come back to God, broken and hopeless, and go, God, I have nothing to give my friend. Help me. And then the Lord will give you more, and you can go help your friend in your small group. This is a beautiful way to do ministry. People's lives get changed because you don't get changed by a sermon. You get changed by someone investing in your life day, after week, after month, after year. Those moments, I appreciate the moments. But my life is not the sum of my 10 big God moments. Where I got the word of the Lord, I was like, oh, that's not the sum of my life. The sum of my life is my day-to-day, week-to-week, my routines, my in and outs. Be in the life of people and pour into them. You can make massive change and transformation in people's lives. It is incredible. And I'm telling you, the first time you watch it happen, you'll be addicted. You'll be addicted because you go, oh my gosh, I was able to minister. I was able to pastor. I was able to love on this person so much. I helped break down their walls. I helped bring about a change in their life. They're a different person now. It is so awesome. That is so good. But it won't happen unless you start a small group and you invite them to your small group. And they are people you've never met before. Do you know your best friend you didn't know the day before you knew him? I know, that's profound, right? Brad, that's smart talk right there. You didn't know your best friend the day before you didn't know your best friend. You don't know who your next best friend is. You don't know who's going to join your small group. You don't know them, and you will, and you'll love them, and they'll be your best friends. They'll be your family. You just haven't met them yet. Go meet them. Invite them to your room, your living room. I'm excited. When they come to your living room, prepare for the small group meeting. Have some sort of a plan. And we've talked a little bit about what that looks like, but we're not so structured. You've got to go through this book of the Bible. Do whatever. Make sure you're loving on people. I think you ought to eat together. Let people be a place where they can share and have a safe place and interact. Try to give them a nugget if you can. But when you're having your small group, I do want to say this. It's important that you as the leader lead. So don't just have a small group and a group of people come over and the start time is 6 o'clock and the end time is 7:30 and they come over and they're there from 6 to 7:30 and then at 7:30 they leave, and if a visitor came, no one would have even known whose house it was or who was leading the meeting. Lead the meeting. You're the small group leader. Lead the meeting. Have a direction. Keep things moving a certain direction. It doesn't have to be every 5 minutes, but I mean, every 30 or something. I mean, like, have a direction where you're leading the meeting in a direction. People don't want to just be aimlessly led around in the wilderness. They want to have a little bit of a direction. And you're the leader. So assert yourself as a leader. I don't mean be a dictator. That's weird. I just mean, hey, guys, welcome. Thanks for being here. Okay, where's here? Well, you're in my living room. Great. So now I know who's in charge. I know whose house it is. Awesome. Hey, guys, cool. Hey, finish up your eating or whatever, and then come here and meet in the living room. We're going to talk for a few minutes. Okay, this person seems to be giving direction to the evening. Okay, I get it. Now they're all in the living room. You guys got any prayer requests or anything we can pray for? Oh, wow, now they're asking for prayer requests. I bet you they're the small group leader. I'm just guessing. Because they're leading the small group. Small group leader. Sounds like to me. Okay, so do that. Lead the meeting. I am going to tongue-tie. Is what I'm going to do. Tongue tie. Maybe it's time for a drink of water. Perhaps so. I'm going to touch on two more points, and we'll finish up. Now, this won't happen for a while, but I want to talk about multiplication dynamics. It'll happen down the road a little bit. In general, we want small groups to be small. You remember Jesus picked 12 guys? He picked 12. This is the Son of God. Now, actually, a lot of those guys were married. And so now he's actually got relational lines and investments into 12 families, if you will, okay? But he was meeting just with the guys. I want to encourage you, we don't want small groups to have 30, 50 people in them. You want small groups to be relatively small so that they can stay small, so that you can have relationships, that kind of thing. So that's the first thing. I just want to say you probably ought to try to stay under 15 adults. I just think that's probably, like, if you get beyond 15, you want to do something. Because it's not small anymore. Now it's big group. Hey, you guys going to big group tonight? I thought it was called small group. It was till you joined. You made 16. Now we're big group. I want to encourage you, keep those groups relatively small. And there's a couple of ways that you can do that. One is, when you get to a point where you're like, I think I got all the 12 people in my small group I can handle. Maybe that number is 15. Maybe that number is 7. I don't know, 5, whatever. You get to the group size that you're like, I think I'm, if I'm going to pastor these people, we can't get one more in here. I'm going to start being a bad job of everything I do. Okay? Figure out what that number is. Figure out where you're at. And then close your group. What does close your group mean? It means stop inviting people. Hey, can we send so-and-so to your small group? No, I'm closed. I can't handle anymore. If I take anybody else on, I'll go crazy. Okay, cool, we'll respect that. I'm not trying to get you to disciple more people than you can handle. I'm trying to get you to disciple as many people as you can handle. And whatever that number is, that's the right number. That's where you want to be. When you start experiencing growth and you start to get up over 10, 12 people or whatever, you really need to start thinking about what you're going to do. Are you going to close your group? Are you going to come up with a multiplication strategy? If you want to do a multiplication strategy, I want to tell you what a couple of ways that can look. Raise up a small group leader from within your midst that's going to take half the group and it's going to launch out. And you start planning this out some weeks or months ahead of time. That way it doesn't just happen overnight, okay? And if your plan is, we're going to grow this group and we're actually going to multiply it out, then we're going to try to grow again. Remember I told you that was one of the strategies that you might have? That's cool. That's a cool strategy. Have a plan. Don't just get to, we're at 20 people and now we need to split this thing in half. Anybody want to volunteer to take half the group next week? That's bad. Bad plan. Because you're forming a family unit. And now you want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable where they're going. It's need some time to raise up another small group leader and talk about who wants to go with so-and-so and who's going to stick with us and how is this going to look and come up with a plan that everybody feels comfortable with and a launch date. Let's do this, 2 months down the road, let's launch it and let's... Why don't you let us come to your launch party? We'll come to your barbecue. And we won't be there the next week and the next week, but we'll come that one night and come up with a launch strategy. The evolution of small groups, I just want to give a couple more takeaways here. Shifting small group dynamics is a reality. Whatever you start with, it won't look that way, the same way, all the way through. There are going to be those that come into your small group, and then they move states. That's okay. There's going to be those that come into your small group, and you've gotten them as far as you can get them in the Lord, and they now really want to go do something else. Bless that. Pat them on the back. Take them out for them. Like, bless them. Help them move on to that next thing in the Lord if that's what they feel like they're supposed to do. Another thing that's going to happen is the maturity level of your group is going to evolve. When you start off, if you start off with a bunch of lost people, and now they all become just saved people, and now they become brand new disciple people, and now they become learning about the gifts of the Spirit people, and now they become, I want to go out and actually start ministering to people, and then they become, man, I want to actually start a small group of my own people. Your dynamics have shifted greatly in your small group. And what you're doing, and the focus that you're having, and the way that your meetings go also needs to evolve. That happens. That's good. In fact, the way that it was written about in the scripture is Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. By this time, you ought to be teachers, but you still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Author of Hebrews is talking about the objective is you ought to become teachers. You ought to become leaders. You ought to become those that understand the truths of the kingdom and can invest in other people. That's the normal process. That's go and make disciples of all nations. That's what's supposed to happen. You ought to be doing that. And then he gets hung up on them. He's like, hey, but you guys aren't there yet because you've been dealing with some areas of immaturity. You've refused to grow in some areas. But let me just tell you, what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to wind up with solid food because that's for the mature. And now you can do more things in the kingdom. You can accomplish more for the Lord as you're growing in maturity. This is the natural process. And as you do this, as you have a healthy small group, leaders will arise. As you have a healthy small group, the dynamics will transition because they no longer need baby food anymore. You've given them that. And giving it to them and giving it to them. And now they're on solids and now they're eating steak. They're going for it. And now they're cooking you steak. Oh, that's maturity. They're growing, they're maturing, and the small group dynamics will change too. Listen, we've got 4 more weeks of this. My intention in this training series is to get all of us in this church able, at least on paper, to go start a small group. If you've got the training, you've got what you need, you got the equipment, you could go do it and do a little bit of review. And again, because you'll have a small group leader who obviously has started a small group, or you wouldn't be in it. They know what the process looks like, and they can help you along in this. And that's another fun part of small group development, is when those that you're leading are now starting small groups. So much fun. Father, we ask you tonight in Jesus' name for your grace to rest on our church. Will you help us? Holy Spirit, come help us, not just to talk about small groups, but to start them, to invest in people, to see lives transformed, to make disciples of all nations, the great commission to make disciples, to raise up people in our small groups that we invest in, and then to see them go to that next place in God.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.